I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Kibenda Tea Estate in Limuru in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. Today we discuss a subject that is as thorny as it is interesting. Coup d'etats in the continent of Africa. And let us begin by giving a little history. A history which tells us that in the 1950s, African countries started regaining their independence. I always like reminding friend and foe alike that when we talk about Africa to include Egypt, Egypt actually regained our independence in 1922. And in 1956, Sudan also regained our independence. But we prefer to say that the first African to truly regain our independence was Ghana in 1957. And by 1963, 32 African countries could make the claim that they were independent. But somehow, these countries which had been led into independence through freedom fighting movements, but something started happening. Change of power through military intervention. In the early days, it was shocking. When in Togo in 1963, Silvanus Olympio was the first to be eliminated through what can be characterized as a coup d'etat. Eyebrows were raised and people started talking about foreign interference, because these coup makers were young men who were trained by the former colonizers, some of whom did not want to leave, and they wanted to plant their own people. When Olympia was eliminated, there was the suggestion that there was the French hand. And after that, we see in 1966, the removal of the Osagie for Kwame Nkrumah. And it is instructive that in 1965, a year before his removal, Kwame Nkrumah actually addressed Parliament and said that the military have no business interfering in the political affairs of any nation because they do not have the people's mandate. But he went on to say that if it should become necessary for the military to enter into the political arena, they should only do so for a short time and ensure that their midwife back a civilian government. But we now know that the removal of Kwame Nkrumah, when he was on an official visit to Hanoi in Vietnam, Ong Hut, China, was engineered by the foreign powers, the British and the Americans being frequently mentioned, and specifically because he was beginning to lean to the East, so they claimed, but he was simply being a Pan-Africanist. And we know that the Osagyefo was removed in that manner in 1966. But we can backpedal a little in the Democratic Republic of Congo. When the Belgians left and they did not want to leave, they had created an environment that was fertile for the disruption of political activities. So when they were leaving and the elections were held, they were forced actually to remove Patrice Emery Lumumba from jail. And when he came out, his party won the election with him becoming the prime minister and Joseph Kasavubu becoming the president. But in 1961, Patrice Emery Lumumba had been removed by the Mobutu administration. And the wave of coups then started taking place. We saw coup d'etats in Nigeria with the removal of Nnamdi Azikiwe. We saw coup d'etats in Mali. We saw coup d'etats in Guinea-Bissau, coup d'etats in Algeria, coup d'etats in different parts of the world, coup d'etats in Uganda, coup d'etats ultimately we saw that coup d'etats became a way of eliminating leaders from government. Until with the transitioning of the Organization of African Unity into the African Union, the African Union came up with a protocol or a declaration in Malabo in Equatorial Guinea, in which they said that any country where the governments change in an unconstitutional manner should be excluded from the affairs of the African Union. But somehow, we have seen in the year 2002, 2003, 2004, we have seen coup d'etats, which are very popular. We have seen coup d'etats in Gabon, in Guinea, in Burkina Faso, in Mali, in Niger. And whenever these coup d'etats take place, the people actually rise and they say, we support these coup d'etats for a number of reasons, one of which they are eliminating the colonizers. They are eliminating the leaders who are unpopular. They are eliminating corrupt leaders and dictatorial leaders. So when we talk about coup d'etats in Africa, we must now begin to understand the reasons why they are becoming popular. Coup d'etats are becoming popular and acceptable in the continent of Africa because African politicians have perfected the art of using the ballot box by weaponizing ethnicities and using corruptly acquired resources to remain in power. And rigging of elections has become something that is prevalent in the continent of Africa, with the consequence that the voting population are left helpless. And they are now looking to the men and women in military with weapons to come and intervene to disrupt these political arrangements. This is the reason why coup d'etats in Africa have become popular. So, while we accept that all governance and all political power must emanate from the people by reason of the ballot box, it is important to appreciate that sometimes it becomes necessary to use extraordinary means. It is not lost on me that when you look at quite a number of countries, they have voters in the neighborhood of 60 million. And within 1 hour of the conclusion of their elections, you know who the owners are, with who the winners are. But in Africa, with 6 million votes, 10 million votes, it takes us weeks to count the votes because they are being manipulated. In an environment such as that, coup d'etats will continue to happen. Are they desirable? Not necessarily. Are they sometimes necessary? Yes, because when all doors are closed, then you create your own doors, and coup d'etats have become means and ways of creating those doors to save the people and to liberate the people from the clutches of corrupt and megalomaniacal politicians who exist in the continent of Africa, save for very few. It is also instructive that some of the coups have become popular because they are seen as a new face of liberation. This is actually evident in former French colonies. And remember that French colonies have continued to be controlled by France. Their currencies are controlled by France. Their armies are dictated to by France, which have military bases in those countries. And when these young men and women rise in order to eliminate the politicians who facilitate the continued presence of French army in their territories, they are doing so as liberators, and they are seen in that vein. And it is not lost on me, particularly in the recent coups in the Sahelian region, in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, in Niamey, Niger, and in Bamako, Mali, that one of the very first things that they did was to tell the French army to leave. And after that, we have seen the French leave La Côte d'Ivoire, Senegal, Guinea, Niger, Chad, Burkina Faso, and Mali. In addition to that, coup d'etats happen because the politicians who are kleptocrats are enabled and facilitated by these countries, particularly in the case of the colonizers, France. We have seen, for example, that most of the money that was kept outside of Africa from Cameroon by the Biya regime is kept in France, by the Bongo regime in Gabon, it is kept in France. And of course, we know that this is something that riles the population, particularly because of poverty, desperation, and want. And coup makers are seen as liberators. I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Kibenda Tea Estate in Limuru, Kiambu County, and in the Republic of Kenya, and our conversation continues. And of course, the differently nuanced coup d'etats, which in the eyes of some is seen as liberation, continues to preoccupy our mind.